And gentlemen, let's stand for the Word of God. I thank God for the month of March. I thank God by His grace. Some of us rallied and accomplished some goals. I thank God that He allowed me the grace and strength and help to preach His holy word each and every day throughout the month of March. And according to the person who does all of the notes and recordings, thousands heard the gospel and thousands heard the word throughout the month of March. And we give God the glory. And we are thankful to God to see April 1st again. And we thank God for all of you gathering on different devices and different platforms to be with us today. We love Easter time. We love Resurrection Sunday time. By the grace of God, I'll be preaching starting, I believe, the 14th of this month, a special Easter series. And we always do something special and around the Easter Resurrection Sunday time. So be on the lookout for that. Please continue to pray for me. Thank you for your prayers. My voice is getting better and better. Right now, I want to, by the grace of God, continue to preach in your hearing. And I know it's not popular, but I'm not here to be popular, of a forgotten faith, part 5. And yes, I'm talking to Christians right now, and I'll be talking to people who don't know Christ shortly. The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk in America, part 19. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign bus rolls on. This is day 715 since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1080 since January the 1st, 2016. Please turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 2. For our emphasis is still on Jesus, even though we are preaching from the Old Testament. Verse 1 reads, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem. Go and cry to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend, evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, O house of God, if you will, in all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for bringing us through a difficult month, the month of March, but a victorious month. And we know that we will face a similar tribulation, trouble, and difficulty going forward as we approach Resurrection Sunday. We always do. But Holy Father God, we thank you for bringing us through in the past, and we pray that you would bring us through this month as well. And we pray that you would have mercy and grace upon such wretched people as we are in your church. And I know, Lord, that there are many of us who want to act like we have it going on, that we are near perfect, that we don't have any sins and we don't have any problems and we don't have any trouble because of our sins, and we don't have any tribulation because of our sins. But we do. And I pray that you'll help everybody to humble down and be honest and confess sin and repent of sin and to get back to you, their first love, our first love. Crucify us afresh and anew. Crucify our flesh afresh and anew. And empty us, Lord, of ourselves. Fill us with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit to love right, to live right, to think right, to do right, to preach right, whether we feel like it or not. And Lord, help us to sing the songs of Zion, whether we feel like it or not. Help us to pray, whether we feel like it or not. Help us to preach in season and out of season, whether we feel like it or not, by the power of your Holy Spirit, whether there's a great crowd and whether there is not. Whatever the case, Lord, help us to be faithful till the end, by your grace, by your might, by the power of your Holy Spirit, for your glory, praise, and honor, and for the salvation of lost souls and for the revival of those who are saved. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would block Satan, that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, and even those he is using and those who are allowing him to use him, to try to use them, to try to hinder your gospel going forward. I pray that you would give us sweet victory once again over the world, the flesh, the devil, and the Judases in this place and outside of this place. And I pray that your holy name would be glorified and Jesus Christ would be exalted. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. J.A. Thompson said, did you fix that? Dr. J.A. Thompson said, in the days of the wilderness, wandering, Israel was the Lord's bride. She was loyal to him and displayed deep love and devotion. The measure of Israel's devotion in those early days was that she ventured into an open area that had never been tilled. Go ahead and check everything and let me know. This was in contrast to what she had known in Egypt. Make sure everything is working fine so people can hear and read around the world. With its tilled lands and abundant crops, but strong confidence in the Lord led Israel to follow him into such unfamiliar paths. That is how deeply she trusted him back in those days. The contrast between this beautiful state and the sad unfaithfulness of the years that followed is shown in Jeremiah's message. You need to go ahead and shut that down. Ladies and gentlemen, in our last message, we began looking at how God recalled the good and positive behavior of the children of Israel in their early days of following him. He recalled their kindness and goodness toward him, towards God, and their faithfulness to his commands. Secondly, he recalled their loving espousals. Not only their language of commitment, but their lifestyle of commitment as well. God recalls the times when we first loved him back. God remembers when we, his people, used to love him and show that love by obedience and faithfulness. Thirdly, today, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord remembered Israel's willingness to follow him, even into difficult situations. God says, "Thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown." The children of Israel followed God out of the familiarity of Egypt and out into the unknown and desolate wilderness, not knowing they were going to be there for 40 years. There were many times when things did not go well in the wilderness. But during that time, Israel never totally turned away from following God. How closely, ladies and gentlemen, Are we following the Lord ourselves today in the Church of God? There was a time when we did so. And thank God for the remnant. Thank God for the 7,000 in every church that's still following God. In the wilderness of this world, this is not my home, the song says. We're just passing through. We sing, I will follow you. And oh, how much we love to sing it. Some of us sing songs because we love the beat. We love how the songwriter and the musicians arranged the song. We really don't love the words. Some still sing, but very few do. I surrender all. And we have not surrendered anything. Some of us have not surrendered our bad attitudes. Some of us have not surrendered trying to have our way all of the time. Some of us have not surrendered sin such as stealing, lying, being corrupt, not only in life but in words. Deep down in your heart, you have a corrupt, dark heart, and you know it. Every chance you get, you sneak in some pornography. Some of us have not surrendered, even though some of us are singing, I surrender all. Some of us have not surrendered anything. We always have to be right. We always have to try to defend ourselves. We can't let it go. We got to have the last word, to the point of divorce and children being scattered, half the year in California, half the year in North Carolina. I surrender all, we sing. Fewer and fewer even sing it. We love to sing, I will follow you. I surrender all. But what we really mean is, I will follow you as long as you are leading me into what I want. Don't bow your head yet, it's not time to pray. Prosperity. Materialism. As long as you're leading me into material possession and whatever I need to do to get money and ease and comfort. More often than not, we are unwilling to follow God into wilderness environments, difficulties, anything that's going to bring discomfort or tribulation or not being sure of things. But that's how God operates with his people. He wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. We are unwilling to follow God into situations that are uncomfortable for us, so many of us. In one survey a few years ago, as many as 75% of Americans identified themselves as Christian. Kyle Eilerman, author of the best-selling book Not a Fan, said something about that percentage is off. And I agree with him. Because if there really are that many Christians, then why will some 35 million people in America go to bed hungry tonight, not counting the millions more around the world, including 13 million children in America? If 75% of Americans are Christians, then how is it possible that 40% of the homeless are under the age of 18? 40% children are homeless, while many Christians are living in a big fine house on Pork Chop Hill. The street is literally called Pork Chop Hill Street. Why are there more than 120,000 children waiting to be adopted? I can't hear nobody. Not counting the children in what we call they're not with an adoption agency, but these are children who are just moved around. What's the name of it? Say that again. Foster homes. We're not even counting them. Which is a tragedy and sad. Want more Christians involved with that. And he said, I could keep going, but the numbers don't add up. Why are there more people lost than saved if we have that many Christians? My God, help us. Jesus said, the evidence that someone is one of his followers is love. Love for him, back to him for first loving them and loving others. But the evidence is just not there that we have that many people saved and who are believers in Christ and love Jesus. If that is the case, we have a whole lot of Christians who are backslidden on God. And we're talking to you. The fourth thing the Lord remembered about Israel was her holiness. At one point, Israel fulfilled her duty to be a sacred, set-apart nation that shunned evil, that shunned sin, kind of like how we were when we first got saved. That shunned idolatry. As a result of her holiness, striving to do that which was right, the Lord blessed Israel. She was the recipient of the first fruits of the Lord's blessings. Let me show you how God blesses people. Some of you wonder why there's always a line at Chick-fil-A. There's always a line at Chick-fil-A. You just don't drive up to the thing. You've got to wait. Well, it's because Chick-fil-A's owners, the original owners, they honored God. Why is Chick-fil-A voted as the number one restaurant, even above McDonald's today? Why do people just flock to it? Monday through Saturday, they can't get there on Sunday because Sunday they're closed. Can't even go. You can't even go on Sunday. Why is that? because Brother Truett Cathy made a commitment to God many years ago. I remember when Chick-fil-A was just a little old dwarf house in the state of Georgia. It wasn't a big deal at all in Georgia. They had a dwarf house where you had to, I don't know why they did that, but you had to walk, if you walked in the front door, you had to bend down to get in it. It was not a big thing, even in the state of Georgia. Now it's big all across the country and around the globe because they, Truett Cathy, gave his heart to Jesus and he remained committed to God. He made it very clear, we're not going to open on Sunday. So if you want some manna from heaven, some Chick-fil-A, you better get it on Saturday or wait till Monday. But we're going to honor God, and everybody who works for this company is going to honor God. But not only that, they tithe and gave to God. They've given millions of dollars to the cause of Christ. To their local church in Jonesboro, Georgia. I've been to their church several times. You wonder why God has blessed them? Because they have followed the Lord and they have obeyed the Lord and they have sought to be faithful to the Lord and obedient to Him all of these years. Those blessings come down from the head, all the way down to everywhere. And that's why you're almost addicted to Chick-fil-A. And there are other organizations blessed like that. Businesses, families, churches. And you can be blessed like that if you make a commitment to God and put Him first. It's not about the money. It's not about prosperity, the gospel. That's all based on work, people. They also worked hard. They prayed hard, but they worked hard as well. And God has blessed them. Yet Israel abandoned the Lord when things were going good. Do you remember when you used to strive for holiness in your life? To the point that some people started to call you legalistic. Oftentimes, these people who call you legalistic are not obedient in their own lives. It was that dedication to holiness to God that gave us the blessings that we enjoyed. There's an old saying, you need to dance with the one who brought you. The Lord brought us from a mighty long way, and then what do? We get to the big dance and we forsake the Lord. We hurt the Lord's heart. We make the Lord jealous. Bride of Christ. Because now we're hooking up with vain philosophers, with newfangled ideas, and trying to mix it into the church. And this is precisely what the Israelites did, and we're doing the same thing, and God wants us to learn from their failures as our examples. Amen, somebody. Somewhere along the way, we grew more attached to the blessings than we did to the blesser, God. And there are many Christians like that today who are dead in their spirits because they are attached to the blessings, the material things, the things that came along. Then they are to the blesser, the person who, the God who blessed them. We thought we could maintain our blessings while dabbling in sin. We thought that, and that's foolish thinking, because Jesus Christ died for our sins. Do you think the Lord wants you to continue in sin? God forbid, dear Christian friend. And a whole lot of us need to stop the foolishness and the game playing and the flightiness and the disregard for the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. A Southern Baptist Theological Seminary professor, Jeff Robinson, describes 13 reasons why there is a lack of holiness in the church today. And I'm not going to try to give you all of them, but I'm going to do the best I can for today. Number one, because we no longer understand the complementarity of law and gospel. That the law and the gospel are not in opposition. Go ahead, brother. You're right about that. Contrary to what some newfangled theologians and preachers are saying today, my dear brother Andy Stanley and others, they go together. Amen, lights. They go together. They go together, hand in hand. The law and the gospel is good. Number two, because 150 plus years of revivalism has focused on salvation at the expense of sanctification. That's a hard statement. But I'm afraid it is true. I believe as an evangelist, and that's my main calling, to focus on getting you saved. If you're truly born again, I believe sanctification begins immediately. I believe it with all my heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe it's not the evangelist's fault. I believe it's the pastor's fault. Because for years, they did not have a systematic, step-by-step, college-like, Bible college-like course of study, which includes church history for new converts. You just get them in and you just throw them into a class, a Sunday school class back in the day, or to a small group. And I only know of one church that has a systematic, once they get saved, they teach them everything in a class, and they can't even become a member, bless their hearts, until they know what it means to be a Christian, a disciple of Christ. And I love it. So I don't believe that it's the fault of the evangelists. I believe that it is the fault of pastors who don't understand the importance of sanctification, who don't understand the importance of taking young Christians through a systematic course of study to make sure they understand what it means to be a Christian. Number three, because we tend to celebrate what Christ saves us from, the penalty of sin, but neglect what he saves us to, liberty from the power of sin, that we might do good works. Go ahead, brother. You're right about it. And I have so much more to say today. And I will, by the grace of God, continue this on tomorrow, because we needs to stay here a while. And so let me talk to you Christians before I move on. For those of you who are with us today, if you are a born-again Christian, listening and participating and watching today live and on demand, Here are three things you need to do in light of what I preached on today. Number one, confess and repent of your own sins. And some of us need the breaking up of the fallow ground in our lives. The fallow ground in our lives needs to be tilled. It needs to be broken up. It needs to be plowed. Those of you who don't know anything about farming, you don't know what I'm talking about. It's a foreign language to you. But it needs to be broken up. Your heart, your proud spirit, your arrogant self needs to be tilled. The ground in your heart needs to be broken up before you can confess your own sins. And you know what your sins are. Stop it. In the words of John McNeil Jr., Dr. John McNeil Jr. in Atlanta, Georgia, just stop your sinning. Stop the foolishness. If you are a child of God, you can do it. Secondly, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent of their sins as well. It's always better to go together and to get back to your first love, all of you, all of us, to get back to our first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true New Testament revival, to get back to Jesus Christ. He said as much in the book of Revelation. He wants us to get back to our first love, Him, where everything we did, Danae, we did it for His glory, His praise, and His honor. And not only that, we were glad to do it. Now, my dear friends, you can get mad all you want to. I'm going to preach this series until God tells me to stop. I'm going to preach it. You say, well, I'll never listen to you again. That's fine. I got you today. It's fine. But I'm going to preach this series. The Lord gives me strength because it needs to be preached. And then thirdly, pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to the lost. And once you get your heart right with the Lord, go and strengthen your brethren. After that, go and witness to those who need Christ. You know your life has been enhanced beyond measure because you invited Christ into your heart. You trusted Christ as your Savior. You know it. And how dare you not tell other people? How dare you not pass out gospel tracts like you used to? Now, beloved, let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Those additions really helped. And we pray now, Lord, that you would help us as Christians to confess our sins, to repent of our sins, to turn from our evil ways. I know everybody wants me to preach a certain way and certain things and not deal with the sin problem in our lives in the church, our hypocrisy, our phoniness, our fakeness, our inconsistency, our unfaithfulness. But you dealt with it in the book of Revelation and in other places. So Lord, help us to take heed to your message and to your holy word, and to confess our sins, to repent, to pray for other saints, and to reach out to the lost at any cost. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your soul's salvation from sin and hell, and yes, a better life, but not an easy life. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We all have not reached His holy and high standards, no matter who we are. From the Pope on down, yes, that's right, the Pope has failed God. And obviously all of the priests have. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of sin. That's why we die. That's why we have funeral homes. That's why we have graveyards. And that's why one day you will be in a graveyard because of sin. I know that's not good news, but that's the reality. I know you think you want to live forever on earth. You're not. And your soul will go to hell to experience eternal death if you don't trust Christ as Savior in this life. The only time that you can trust Christ as Savior is in this life. You leave this earth having not trusted Christ as Savior. Your soul will spend eternity in hell, according to Jesus Christ, according to the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, thirdly, accept the fact that you're on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, hell is bad news, but I have good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life," that is, have everlasting life in heaven with God, with Jesus Christ, with the saints, and with the angels. If you want that, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Believe that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you. Trust him as your Savior today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. For whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're willing to trust Christ as your Savior today, which also means repenting of your sins of the past, turning from your old life, pray with me what we call the sinner's prayer and mean it from your heart. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart to God. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments through lying, through stealing, through lusting after people and things, dishonoring my parents, disobeying my parents, and taking your holy name in vain, along with many other sins. Have mercy and grace upon my soul. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ today, you believed in your heart that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other emails that might be before you, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please send that in as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, Jesus Christ loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. don't cut it off, David. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for what you have done here today. Thank you for what you've done in the past. Thank you for all of the souls that have been saved through the simple preaching of your holy word down through the years. And thank you, Lord, for Christians being encouraged and revived in the faith down through the years. We thank you for what you have done here today, what you're doing, and what you will do. And Lord, we pray that over 3 million souls would come to know your Savior, if that has not been done already, through the preaching from this pulpit, and over 3 million Christians to be revived. Lord, revive us again, restore us again, renew us again. Glorify your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. God bless you, dear friend. Until next time. Just now, come to Jesus.